know, so many people have left early for the holidays. It's interesting. So,
we have the holiday coming to us.
That's a good way to do it.
We have like 10, 5 or something.
Okay, so today's the 23rd of November, 2004, I think, still. And we're going to do lesson number 98, Zen Sitting. So go ahead and lie on your backs. Yeah, Kristen went out of town, and Augusta went out of town. And Susie has a granddaughter, so she went out of town. Some people left early for other reasons, so. So take a moment to observe how you're lying on your back this morning. Recalling some of the movements we've done the last 2 weeks of bending the knees out to the side. That's it. So go ahead and start with that. You can, let's say, bend the right knee out to the side, slide it up, and then straighten it. And then bend your left knee out to the side. And again, you always bring the sole of the foot to the inside of the other knee. Can you cross the legs? Can you bend both knees out to the side at the same time and bring the soles of your feet together? That's it. And then straighten them again. And notice when you do that movement of bending both knees out to the side and drawing your feet up together, does one knee open a little easier than the other? Or perhaps if you've been working on this over the week, it's become very similar. That's it. Good. Good. And just pause for a moment, rest. And then roll to your side and come up to sitting. And you're going to sit in the same fashion with your knees apart and the soles of your feet together. And start by placing your hands on your thighs, if possible. Good. Somewhere like that. And then begin to do a movement with your spine and your pelvis of rounding the lower back. Think of sitting on the tail. And then erecting the lower back as if you were going to sit more on your tailbone. So you round. Good. And then you think of erecting yourself. Good. Now, the other area to become aware of as you do this, and Kathy, it's a little less leaning back, but more that's it, rounding. So the other area to pay attention to is the pubic bone. So when you round your spine and tuck your pelvis under, the pubic bone in front actually lifts itself up as if your face and the pubic bone would touch. And when you arch your back, that pubic bone tilts down. So that's, in a way, the front side, and the back side is your sacrum and tail to pay attention to. they are. Nordstrom's. But you know what company they are is born. That's why they're comfy. They make really good shoes, the inserts. Good. Now come to a place where you're somewhere in between that maybe feels comfortable for you. Now see if you can place your hands on the floor in front of your feet, your legs. That's it, palms down. And start to either walk or slide your hands out in front of you. Lower your head down as if your nose was going to touch your toes, your feet. And this requires that that pubic bone start to angle down and forward. Your spine elongates. Your knees have to widen to the point that your buttocks could lift off the ground. It's just an idea. We won't be there right now, but good. Now take your arms over to the right side. So both arms are in front of the right leg. So that you angle yourself just onto the right sit bone. And you can start to lift up the left sit bone. And do as much as you want so that your hands move further away from you, your head lowers. That's it, Kathy. That's it. So continue to go down to the floor so that your right knee touches the ground. And I don't care how much you lift the left side, and that your hands and even your head, either your head rests on your knee or in front of your knee down to the floor. What can you do to get the left buttocks way up? That's nice, Kathy. Take the head down. So use your hands to support you, sliding down. That's it. That's it. Good. Make sure you're still breathing. That's very nice. Do whatever you need to do to get that head to the floor. No, but you have to, with the constraint that the soles of your feet stay together. Good. Okay, come up. And now go to the other side. So bring your hands over to the left side, somewhere in front of the left shin bone. And again, let your hands weight bear. And you can lift the right sit bone as high as you want. The constraint is that the soles of the feet stay together. The right knee can lift, but you can still keep the soles of the feet together. That means the right ankle has to differentiate. Very good. And do whatever it takes is to take your head down over to the side. What do you need to do in the back, the spine? Stop. Okay, you guys, you're not supposed to go through here, so finish. I don't know why these doors are... You're not supposed to be passing through here.
Well, we can't go the other way because they're...
This is, like, ridiculous. Is that the problem, Diane? What's the problem?
That's the only inference there is.
Tell me next time. I'm recording a class. Sorry, you guys. They're resurfacing in the back. Okay, come back to the center and just sit for a moment and just observe where you're sitting now. Is anything different? Lie on your back and rest. Once again, roll to your side and come up to sitting. Again, you sit with the soles of your feet together so they're not crossed and your knees are open. Good. Good. And now place your hands somewhere, either on the thighs, the knees, where it's comfortable, keeping your head erect and keeping your face on the horizon. So begin to look out, straight out, away from yourself. Pick a point to kind of look at, gaze at is the word I was looking for, that's on the horizon. Good. And thinking about how your spine is erect, begin to tilt yourself to the left so that you bring more weight onto the left sit bone and then just back to the center. So just to the left. Very nice. And do it in a manner that if your spine was a stick all the way from your tailbone to the top of your head, there's no bending in the stick. So this movement reminds me of a toy that we had when I was a kid, Weevil's Wobble. Those little doll-like figures that you could knock over and the whole thing would go over and come back up. So there's no bending. Or another visualization can be like a pendulum. So feel how the top of your head tilts over the same ratio that the right cheek lifts up, the right ischium. So there's no bending in the ribs, but you're allowed to breathe. Good. And now can you go to the right? The same idea. So if you need to at home to do a smaller movement, it's better to start smaller so that you really find this ability to keep your spine erect so that there's absolutely no distortions in the ribs, in the spine, in the cervical spine. So again, the top of your head goes over to the right the same amount that you lift the left sit bone. And now go ahead and go back and forth, just like a pendulum. Very nice. Good. Okay. Come back to the center and just observe where you're sitting now. What part of the ischium, the sit bones, are you sitting on? Where do you sense the tailbone and your spine, the pubic bone, without changing anything? Just observe how it is changing through the different movements we do. And the comfort of sitting. And rest on your back. Roll to your side and come up to sitting again. Sit with the soles of your feet together. Your hands are resting on your legs, your thighs, somewhere where it's comfortable. And before you do the movement, just begin to imagine that you're sitting on a clock, the face of a clock. So if you're sitting on the face of a clock, 12 o'clock would be in front of your feet. 6 o'clock would be behind your pelvis and tailbone. 3 o'clock would be out away from your right knee, and 9 o'clock would be out away from your left knee, correct? And imagine that same clock not only on the floor, but imprinted on the ceiling. Okay? Can you imagine that? So it's the exact same clock on the top of your head going up to the ceiling as sitting. Okay. Now, we're going to go in the same manner that we just did of the tilting. Your spine staying erect and as one unit. You're going to go over to 3 o'clock to your right. That means that your head goes to the right, the left ischium comes up. And once you're to 3 o'clock, can you start to arc a little bit forward as if you were going to go to 2 or 1 o'clock and arc a little bit back towards 4 and 5 o'clock? So you're making an arc along the right side, but you first bring yourself over to 3. And once you're to 3, you start in very small, again, movements. The smaller you go, the more you can keep this idea of a pendulum. So you can go 3 up to 2 and back to 3 and then down to 4. And when the quality of that movement is clear and effortless, you can add in the numbers of 1 and 5 and then eventually 12 all the way to 6. But keep your hands, Kathy, on your legs. So you're just tilting in the body, and then you're arcing. At the same time, gaze onto the horizon. So your eyes stay gazing at the horizon. Very good. Excellent, Kathy. Good. Good. Just pause for a moment and come back to center. And feel what that's like. And now we're going to do the same thing on the left side of the clock. So you first go over to the left, which would be to 9 o'clock. Your weight is all on the left ischium. The right is lifted up. Your head is angled over to the left. And from 9, you go up to 10 a little bit, back to 9, down to 8. And as that small arc gets familiar, you increase it. Going 9, 10, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7. So I didn't turn on. Is it easier for you to do the arc on one side of the clock? And you should feel as your weight is all the way onto the left ischium that you're transferring weight in front of it and behind it, so you go along the ischium. Some of you are staying on one point of the ischium and just moving the upper body forward and back. But you're actually rolling over the ischium. So the left side of your ischium changes its point of contact. Much better. Good. Okay, and let it go and roll onto your back and rest. And bring yourself up to sitting again. Again, your soles of your feet are together. Your hands are resting somewhere comfortably on your thighs, your knees, your shins. You're gazing out onto the horizon. And now let's see if we can do an arc from 3 o'clock, so coming over to the right sit bone, arcing in front of yourself up to 12, and then shifting over to 9 o'clock, which is to the left. So again, as you go from one sit bone, one ischium to the other, you're on the front side of those ischiums, right? Your head should be tilted more forward, your whole self towards your feet. Even more cat there. There you go. That's it. Good, Kathy. Good. It's like giving your buttocks, your ischiums, a nice massage. All those hamstring muscles then insert into the pelvis. Good. Come back to the center, and now can you go over to 3 o'clock to the right and do the back side of the circle? That would be going from 3 to 6 and then over to 9. Again, your eyes are gazing out onto the horizon. So, in a sense, you feel as if your head is behind you. Feel what you do to balance yourself. For many people, this is actually easier than the coming forward. So why is it, do you know why it's easier? Think about why is it easier to do the back side of the circle?
Tight low back.
Tight low back. You're on the right track. We spend more. Often we're tighter in the back, so we spend more time with the weight back here and not as free in the hip joints to bring ourselves in front of ourselves. So when we're tight back here, people's idea of coming forward is to stick the nose out and the chin and to shorten the neck. Good. Now can you start to make a circle? So either choose to go clockwise, pick one, either clockwise or counterclockwise. And for each individual, one direction will be easier. So just notice for yourself which direction that is. And feel when you're going in that direction. If you're going clockwise, I think if you're going clockwise, do you spend more time circling around the right hip joint? Or the left? And now change the direction. So everybody go counterclockwise. Good. Let it go and rest on your back. Please roll to your side, bring yourself up to sitting again with the soles of your feet together. Hands are resting on your thighs, your knees, that's it. Eyes are gazing out on the horizon. And remember when I asked you to imagine a clock on the top of your head and the ceiling, just like the one under your pelvis. And now you're going to have another clock straight out in front of you, the one that we're most familiar with that we had in a classroom. So you have 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 9 o'clock. So a big circle in front of you. So begin to move your nose along the clock. So you're going to go first over to 3 and then down over to 6 and then to the left to 9 and then up towards 12. But your eyes stay on the horizon. So it's like your nose is almost like drawing a circle with a pencil. But you keep your face orientated towards the horizon. So you're not turning your head left and right largely. That's it. And you can start the circle quite small, maybe the size of a quarter. And again, as the circle, we're going clockwise, gets more familiar, you can increase the size and begin to notice how you start to shift your weight once again on the ischiums as you're making the circle with your nose. So when your nose comes to 3 o'clock, you begin to have more weight over towards the right side. Because again, your spine is like a stick. So some of you are now doing a lot of movement in your neck. So pause for a moment, come to the center. You're not allowed to move your neck like that. That'll make your neck hurt. That's what makes people's neck hurt. So find a way to draw a circle with nose, but again, your spine is like a stick, so the whole spine and body is moving. So maybe you start the circle with your pelvis. Very nice, Kathy. Very nice. It's Jay, right?
Is that
Jay? Yeah. You're doing a good job. And once the circle starts with the pelvis, then you shift your attention to the nose. Very nice. So it means we have to slow down, quiet the movement. Feel the shift along the ischiums. Excellent. Excellent. Slower, fall. So you're still doing too much upper body movement and not enough there. Just go back to tilting. But really more with your pelvis, even more. That's it. Good. Now start the circle and don't lose that idea. Keeping this. Much better. Much better. Good. Let it go and rest on your back. Roll to your side. Please come to sitting again. Sit with the soles of your feet together. And since last time we went clockwise, this time we'll go counterclockwise. So once again, gaze onto the horizon. If you need to, begin the counterclockwise circle with your pelvis, and then begin to sense that you're drawing the circle with your nose. See if, pull your knees up. Actually, use your hands to hold them up. There. Now do it from that perspective. A little slower. That's better. Does that make a difference? Yeah. It's almost like I have the same thing. It's like almost too much turnout. It's a different way that you're moving. I need to think of the words. So you're going counterclockwise. Continue. That's it. And can you bring into your awareness and your attention the top of your head? So the top of your head should be making a circle just like your pelvis. But see if you can have the image of, I think of a cone, like an ice cream cone turned upside down with no ice cream in it. So your pelvic circle is the larger one. And the top of your head is the tiny little circle. As it gets more comfortable, that starts to change where the pelvis becomes the tinier circle, and then your head circle becomes the top of the ice cream cone. And at the same time, notice what your nose is doing. So now the nose circle has changed. It can't be the same. It's more of a on the plane, as if you were to slice through yourself. So the pelvic circle should be now the bottom of the cone, ice cream cone, and your head is the top part. So your head's actually making a larger circle. Your eyes are gazing on the horizon. There's no bending or movement in the ribs or the trunk. The shoulders are quiet. And you're able to notice, to observe how your nose is moving in space. Good. And let it go and rest on your back. Mm-hmm. roll to your side, come up to sitting again, soles of your feet together. And now let's go back to the earlier movement of bringing your hands in front of your feet on the floor, lowering your head, and at the same, try to lower your head at the same ratio that your pelvis lifts up. So keep this idea that your spine is like a stick. So without just dropping your head down. So your head lowers only at the ratio that the pelvis lifts. You can start with your arms out in front of you and then move your hands and arms over to the right, in front of the right knee. Again, you can lift the left ischium, the left knee, the left side of the pelvis as high as you want. Very nice, Jay. See, it's not even about lowering your head to the ground. What's more important is the relationship from your tailbone to the top of your head. And as long as you're moving those within one system, that's the importance of this lesson. That's it, Kathy. That's it, Jay. And try the arms behind the right knee. It may be there. But remember, keep your face. Yeah, keep your face always on the horizon. That's it. So again, you can lift that left knee all the way up to the ceiling, but you keep the soles of the feet together. So it means you have to differentiate. That's it. Very nice, Jay. So you can slide the hand behind you. It's almost like you begin to slide your hands like the numbers on the clock. What is it like to go to 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock? Very nice, Kathy. Very good. And then you can do the same over to the left side. So at this point, everybody's going at a little different speed or pace. Even though you're all going slowly and nicely, it's nice to allow you to explore in your own way the different numbers on the clock. So obviously the left hand, when you go to the left side, can reach out further. That's it. Very, very nice. Pause for a minute and just come to sitting. And what we use the word center. And just see what that's like. What is it like now to just sit, gaze your eyes onto the horizon? Okay, rest one more time down on your back. Now roll to your side and come up to your knees and your hands. So you're on your knees and your hands. Let's say your head is forward and towards the front of the room. There you go. Spread your knees wide apart. There you go. Good. And now pivot your feet or swing your feet in so that it's almost like the soles of the feet come together. There you go. Without crossing. That's it. Good. Now in this position, thinking again of your head and your tail being on the same plane. Your back is flat. Start to lower your pelvis back as if you're going to sit towards your feet. Like, keep that head at this, you know, it's like lengthening your spine. Keep your head down. So the top of your head is facing the front of the room because your tail, your buttocks, is towards the back of the room. That's it. How would it be possible to come all the way back and sit on the feet? That's it. You can walk the hands. That's it, Kathy, back. What you may want to do at home if you play with this is to place a towel rolled up. And as you go back with your buttocks, place the towel on the heel. That's it, Jay. You're going to have a new knee. Does it feel like it? So it's really working your knee. It's good. New knee, new hips. Yeah, you want to keep just this. It's one edge of the feet. As, yeah. Can even be just the toe, yeah. That's it, Falk. That's it, Jay. That's it. Till you come to be able to sit on your feet. Can you sit on your feet? It's okay. Good. So feel, where are you sitting now? Feel, imagine the circle underneath of you. Think of your pubic bone, your tailbone. Feel the erectness of your spine now. So what's different now? Now that your feet, the lower part of your leg, I should say, is directly under you and not in front of you. What would make it possible to have your spine in the same place, but your feet and your lower legs in front? So just feel where you're at, how comfortable it is. This is a very comfortable way you could sit for meditating. And just feel what happens in the hips, the knees, the chest, the spine, how organized your spine is. And how effortless it is. Good. Now, come back onto your hands and your knees. That's it. And actually put your hands down and your head down. So take your head all the way to the floor. That's it. Good. And your knees should be spread wide apart. That's it. And from this position, keeping your forehead down, take your pelvis backwards. That's it. And there should be a rolling that occurs in the lower leg. So the heels start to roll out. So feel that by having your head dropped forward, the heels begin to roll out and the toes turn more in. So your knees, Kathy, spread your knees even wider. Really there. Now you'll feel it more. You feel that? Good. Feel that needs to happen in the lower leg. So this is something you can practice. And you can even spread them wider, the knees, so that you get that feeling of the lower leg and the heels. So Falk, think of this. Both heels turn out. Yeah. The toasty, that's it. As you sit your butt. Very nice. That's everyone's homework. Okay, then. Good. Now come up. Let's see. How do we want to do this? Just bring yourself out of it. And you can come up to sitting that way too. And again, feel where you're sitting with the pubic bone, your hips, your spine. Okay. let it go and rest on your back. We'll just come up one more time to our other sitting with the legs. So I'll have you ponder this idea for the week of Thanksgiving. What happens when the lower leg is in front versus behind that inhibits the pelvis and spine? And as soon as you find the solution, it won't inhibit anymore.
It won't
inhibit anymore. Because as soon as you understand it, that's the beauty of this work, right? As soon as your brain understands it, it won't go back there anymore. Because it'll understand what it needs to do. Okay, so one more time. Roll to your side and come up to sitting now with the soles of your feet together. Knees open. Hands resting comfortably on your knees or your thighs. Yeah, wherever. And just feel the sitting now. And are you somewhat closer to that place that we just explored? So it's something to do with inside the hip joints, the groin area. So that's what you need to ask yourself is why? Where is it deep inside here that...
Doesn't that have something to do with that here the legs are rotated in one way, but when we're sitting on our knees, the legs are kind of rotated like this. And so one of them one way, so this way can still take you back.
Right. Right, but eventually you should be, it shouldn't matter. So eventually, if you can bring your hands forward enough to lift up your pelvis, can you lift up your pelvis? There you go. There. That's it. Figure it out. You can hold on to something, too. Push your hands down. Use your hands. Yeah. Now sit back. You'll find it. Okay, yeah, good. Then come back, Kathy, and just now feel it sitting. Okay, now we'll do one more thing. Let's go back to the last 2 weeks and cross your legs. So, whichever way you want to, you know, however you want to cross them. Ah, that's even easier now. So the soles of the feet is the hardest. So now crossing. So now see if you can lengthen your legs out away from you, straighten your legs, and change the crossing. So bend the knees out, just however you want to do it. If you bring the right knee in, then lift the left leg and cross it. That's it. How is that, Kathy? Should be easier. Now you should be able to put your hands on the floor in front of you and lift up the... That's a piece of cake now. See, one of the things that you notice in these lessons is Moshe always gives you something much more difficult to do. And then when we go back to doing something we did before, it becomes quite easy, what we thought was hard. Now the next piece is, can you bring both soles of your feet up? So straighten your legs out wide. Let's start with your right leg. So bend your right knee out to the side. Bring the right foot to rest up on the left thigh. There you go. Now bend your left leg, but now lift the left foot and bring it up on top of the right knee. Next series. Let's try the other way. So... spread the legs long, bend your left knee. So those of you at home, bend your left knee out to the side and then bring the left foot up, rest it. That's it. Now bring then the right knee out to the side so that the right foot comes up. There you go, Jay. And can you lift that up? No? Hey, I can even do it in booties. Right? No? Then can we walk on our butts? So we'll get to that. Is it easier one way than the other? Okay. Enough. Yes. They should be. Yeah. There's a sign of what you did. Okay. So there's all these possibilities of sitting. Sitting one leg crossed under or the other, basic crisscross, what they used to call Indian style, now is crisscross applesauce. There's bringing the soles of the feet together, and then there's bringing one leg on top of the other. So they're both. So maybe try it on your back, too. Go ahead and roll onto your back and see. Now can you do it, Kathy? Okay, well, now if we can do it on our back, why can't we do it in sitting?
So if you can't do it on your back, you can't do it sitting.
But on your back, can you let your head go? There you go. So it would be nice for you to play with it on your back, Jay. Of you can lift the feet up. Remember when we held the toes and cross? That's it. Okay, rest on your backs. Very good. So we're really exploring all different possibilities of sitting, options of the hip joints relative to the pelvis of the back. Good. So just rest there and notice how it feels in your back, your hips. These different sitting lessons really teach us a lot about the restrictions that we've developed over time. And kind of letting go of those restrictions and seeing what can become available and possible again. Okay, so go ahead, roll to one of your sides, come up to sitting. Standing and see how it feels in standing. See how your hips, your ankles, your knees feel. Go ahead and walk around. And that's the other thing. All these movements that we're doing are outstanding for activities like tennis, any kind of diagonal where we have to step, sidestep diagonal, turning the knees in different directions relative to one another. Because walking, we're just moving the legs in front of ourselves. So when you're playing things like tennis or squash or racquetball or basketball or gymnastics, should we even talk about basketball today? Surfing. Surfing's a good one. Okay, so everybody have a wonderful holiday, Thanksgiving, and we'll see you next week.